Good morning, Crossroads. Good to see everybody. Hey, happy Mother's Day to everybody. Happy Mother's Day. Glad that you're with us here today. Hey, little secret, my mom is here from South Dakota today. Yeah. And she would kill me if I told you where she was at in this room. I'll tell you right. But she will be having a table out back. You can ask any question of why I am. You can ask her anything you want, right? No, I'm kidding. Listen, happy Mother's Day to you guys. Really glad you're here today. My name is Brian. I'm the lead pastor here. And we thought, since we're in the middle of this series called This Is Us, that we would do a little bit of a raffle for our ladies here today. So grab those blue tickets if you have them, ladies, today. And in honor of the This Is Us theme, we thought nothing better than to give away a crock pot today for This Is Us. Crock pot giving it away. If you have no idea what that is about, I don't know, ask somebody around you. Okay, grab those blue tickets. Here we go. Blue ticket is going to be 380-5806. Who's got it? 5806. All right, come on, then make some noise. Come up and get your crock pot. Come on. Yeah. She's like, this is my moment. I'm going to take my time. Come on up. It's really a crock pot, too. How funny is that? That's super fun. Here you go. Congratulations. There you go. Awesome. Well, we are in the middle of a series. It's called This Is Us, and we're using the book of Nehemiah. So if you have your Bibles with you or your Crossroads app, Nehemiah chapter 4 is where we're going to be at in just a second. We'd love for you to join us there. Using Nehemiah as a way for us to look at how we have This Is Us families. Whether you have a family now or you're going to have one in the future, this book helps us to understand what it looks like to have God as the foundation of our families. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 13 through 14 are kind of the grounding verses that we've used for this entire series. Let me read them to you again, and we'll jump in today. It says, therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, do not be afraid. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. And so this is the picture of what I would love for us as believers in Jesus to be able to have with our homes. Regardless of your home today, as you're a single person, maybe you're a single mom, a single dad, maybe you're divorced, might be empty nesters, you might have a husband and wife and no kids, maybe a traditional family, regardless of what your family looks like, this is my desire that one day we could stand up and say, this is us. This is us. We don't want to be afraid of what anybody says. All we care about is that we love Jesus and that our family will fight for each other and that we will fight because the Lord is with us. That we don't have to fear anything because that our family is rooted in Jesus. And that's the truth that our home is built upon. And last week, what we said is that this series begins with us saying that this is us. Our family will rebuild what is broken. And to understand what that means, we have to, again, understand where we're at in Nehemiah. So let me catch you up to speed. Nehemiah was a Jewish man whose job was to be the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes. And because of that job he had great influence, great impact with the king, and he was also able to have the king's ear. And one day the king saw that Nehemiah was kind of down, and so he asked him, he said, hey, what's going on? What's the deal? And so what he does is he tells the king and uses his influence for good. Because the Jewish people back in Jerusalem were a wreck. Their city had been in ruins. Their walls were torn down. They were a shell of their former self. And so Nehemiah asked the king, hey, can you let me go back and help them? And with the king and queen, they both said, hey, go for it. Here's some royal authority that goes with it. You can also have some money. Go and do what you can do. And when Nehemiah got there, he surveyed the entirety of the destruction that had happened. Got on a horse, rode around the whole thing, and decided to look at what was actually happened. And instead of giving up, though, he saw it was worse than he thought. Instead of giving up, he actually rallied the people together. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, we read that he says to them, you see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. See, what he does is that he joins the people. And he says, hey, we're in trouble. Not you guys are in trouble, but we together are in trouble. And he inspires them to jump into this task. Not just the men, but all of their families. The women, the children, everybody came together. So what this is it tells us a little bit something important about our families. It tells us that we need to get in the dirt and do some work. We have to get off our high horse of judgment and actually get down with our families to be able to rebuild things that are broken. That's why last week we said that this Is Us family will say that our family will not give up and we will do the good work. And we see this is true because of the story of Nehemiah, how he led the people to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem together. Now, a bunch of you might be sitting there kind of thinking this, like, that's really cute, Pastor B, really cute. This whole group did a DIY project on a fence. That's really awesome, you know, but like, how does that help my family? Let's get down to it. What does that look like for me? What does doing the good work actually look like? Well, let's look at it by continuing to look in the story of Nehemiah. And so after the people agreed to build this wall, the first thing that Nehemiah did was very interesting. What he did is he divided up all the projects, all of the wall projects, and he gave each family a section or a gate to work on. So one family got the fish gate, another family got the Jeshanah gate, another family got the valley gate, and on they go. In fact, even as you read in the Bible, it says that one family actually got the dung gate. Yeah, the dung gate, right? Which you know that at some point, some family somewhere was saying, seriously, the poop gate, that's what we got? Carl, I told you to get in line early so we didn't get the bad gate, and now we're the poop emoji family, so that's awesome, right? But regardless of what gate they got, what part of the wall they got, every family owned that section of the wall, and it became their job to rebuild that section. But here's why I think that's so important for us to consider today. So important for us as it relates to our families. Did you notice that Nehemiah didn't have everyone work on everything? No. What he did is he assigned each family that different section to work on. Now, why is that important to us? Because here's what I know is to be true. You and I oftentimes look at everyone else's wall and everyone else's family and not our family first, don't we? We want to fix their wall, their family first. We are the best at seeing other people's issues, aren't we? We will Dr. Phil the snot out of somebody's marriage and parenting, even their family life. We are seriously so wise when it comes to other people's junk, right? But guess what? We're called to take care of our section of the wall, okay? I think we need to be reminded of that. When it comes to building a godly family, we have to start off by looking at what God has given us. Not other people's stuff, not their Facebook wall, not their Instagram perfect example of a family. No. Us, our section of the wall. We need to stay focused and say, this is us. We can't get distracted and look at other people's families, because when we do that, all that energy that should be exerted to our family is in the wrong direction. We have to look at our team first. See, one of my favorite things that our family has adopted is that we've called ourselves now Team Hunt. Like, we are just Team Hunt. And it kind of snuck up on us at first, but after we thought about it, my wife was in so many sports, I was in so many sports. I mean, it just made sense for us to call each other a team. And that's what we are. We're a team. We're in this together. And that's what I want for my family. It's what I want for your family. It's what for all of us as we begin this good work of rebuilding and building our families. I want us to have passion. I want us to have this desire for each other that creates this inseparable bond from the very beginning. I want us to go to war for each other, not against each other. I want us to take the field of life and know that we have each other's back no matter what. I want us all to be able to stick together and say, we are team whatever. Right? Team whatever. That starts by looking at your section of the wall, though, first. Look at your section, what God has given you, and saying, all right, let's get after it. Let's get to work. But guess what? Just guess what? Believe it or not, not everyone is going to be excited that you're doing this. There will be people in your world that don't want you to succeed. They just will. And listen, and Nehemiah got this. Not everyone was pumped up about this whole wall project. I mean, check it out. Verse 1 of chapter 4, jump back. It says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what are they building? Even a fox climbing up on it would break down their stones, their wall of stones. So what's the deal with these couple of dung gates? You're probably wondering, like, what's their deal, right? What's their problem? Well, first, let's understand who they are. Number one is Sanballat. And Sanballat was the governor of Samaria during Nehemiah's time. And he was kind of like what we would call a big deal. Like, he was pretty prominent in the city. Everyone kind of knew who he was. But then there was Tobiah, the Ammonite official. And he was likely the governor of a local small town called Amnon, but might very well have been underneath Sanballat's authority. That's why he was near him. And their problem was, is that they knew if these Jewish people started to rise up, get their feet underneath them, started to grow stronger, it would be highly detrimental to their political careers. The bottom line is that the Jews got stronger, their power would go away. So what they wanted to do is undermine them from the very beginning and discourage them. I mean, you could almost hear what Tobiah says in like a sarcastic tone in verse 3 where he says, what are they building? Even a fox climbing up, it could break down their walls of stone. What a jerk, right? You know, like, I'm going to take him out back and give him a little what for, if you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's see you build a better gate, Mr. Chip Gaines. You know, like, come on, brother, right? My friends, though, you need to know this is true. The second that you and I try to better our families, the second we try to get our priorities right, put God number one in our life, tell your boss no for the overtime so you can spend time at home, create a budget to get you out of debt, tell your buddies no on the weekends so you can spend time with your kids, you just need to know that when that happens, you are going to get attacked. You just have to know it's going to happen because Satan will hate it when you start to lean into God more. So guys, your friends are going to complain more. They're going to lay guilt trips on you. Your mom and dad will mock you for not going on vacation when you're trying to get out of debt. Your buddies will call you weak for not going out to the bars. Your job will get grumpy when you don't bow down to their feet anymore. It's going to happen. But I guess at this point, you think that you know what I'm going to say next. See, I think that you're expecting me to say something like, well, just pray about it. It's all going to go away, you know. It's not that bad. You're just making it not sound super bad. You know, just let go and let God, right? That's what you think. You know, just have more faith and it'll go away. That's what you're expecting me to say. But you're wrong. Because let me just say something. Because the stuff you're going through, the stuff that I'm going through, it's hard. It's real. It can wear you down after a while. Being attacked can be really tough. It can even make you question why you're even doing it, can't you? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, over time, a single drop of water can penetrate through the biggest chunk of granite of all time. So why do we think that this won't happen to our families when they're under constant pressure, constant attack from other people? I mean, that happened to these people as they're rebuilding the wall. Scripture will tell us that they built the wall halfway up, and it says that they did it all with all their heart, but the pressure was starting to get to them. So in verse 10, we pick it up. Verse 10, it says, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to their work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. So the criticism, it started to mount. It started to wear them down, and the pressure was really starting to get to them. They were starting to listen to the wrong voices, and they began questioning everything that they were doing. They weren't sure if this whole wall project was what they should be doing. They were getting ready to bag the whole thing. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe the pressure's getting to you. Maybe you're starting to think things like, well, gosh, what's the point? I mean, everybody's kind of got some, you know, crummy family, so who cares? I'll just be like one of everybody else. I'll just kind of coast through and I'll just be just fine. And what happens when we start to think that is a switch flips inside us. And you actually start to attack that which you were rebuilding. You do. You start to destroy your relationship instead of building it back up. You actually begin fighting against your own family. You will sabotage your family through neglect or abuse or addiction or deceit or any other grenade that you could kind of throw into your family to blow it up because you figure if it's not worth it, then I'm just going to nuke the whole thing. But when we do that, we fall right into Satan's hands. We play into the trap that he's setting for us. See, that's why in these moments, it's so important for us not to get duped by all that garbage, but instead to look what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah was a great leader. He could see the morale was starting to get low, and he could realize that the people were getting scared, and so he decides to do something. He decides that I need to get them from stop looking at what could happen and get them refocused on what was really the task at hand. It was crucial not only to the wall project, but ultimately to their survival. He had to redirect their energy back to what was important. So in verse 16, we pick up, and it says this. It says, from that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as they worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. See, I imagine Nehemiah kind of rallying the people together and saying something like this. Like, hey, listen, everybody. I know things are really rough right now. We got a couple of yahoos over there kind of chirping in their ears. And you know what? We could give up. That's a fact. It's easy. Frankly, that's what they want us to do. They want us to crumble. They want us to go home. That's exactly what they want to do. But you see, I'm on a mission from the king, and I'm guided by God himself. So I say, instead of turning our backs and running, what if we actually covered each other's backs and kept at it? Because the only way that we're going to get this done is to have each other's back and to fight for each other and not against each other. And so that's what they did. They positioned themselves in such a way that they had each other's back covered. And as they worked, they literally had a sword in one hand and they had a shovel in the other hand, right? That's what they were doing. They ultimately said that. And as they did that, they were kind of saying, listen, they worked and they fought. That's what they were doing. They worked and they fought. They fought for what was important. They weren't going to roll over and just give up. That wasn't what they were going to do. What they were going to do is that they weren't going to turn on each other, but turn up for each other. Listen, my friends, this is exactly what I want us to do. I want to drive this point home to our families this week. And it's simply this, that our families will fight for each other, not against each other. I can't even begin to stress how important that is for you to have a this is us family. We must fight for each other, not against each other. See, some of us need to look our families in the eye and we just got to tell them straight away. Listen, everybody, I know things are rough right now. It's really, in fact, some of the stuff is really hard to work on. Some of them are big things, and I know that they're big things. And I know it'd be easy to give up. That's a fact. It's easy. Frankly, that's what everybody wants us to do. That's what the world says that we should do, is that we should give up. They want us to crumble, and they want us to go home. People are going to say things like, we're better apart, that the kids will be healthier if we aren't together, that they and we deserve to be happy. The world will scream that in our ears. But you see, I believe that we're stronger than that. I believe we're stronger than that. In fact, I believe that we were sent on a mission from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that the hand of God is on us. So I say, instead of turning our backs and running, what if we cover each other's backs and we keep at it? What would happen if we did that? Because listen, the only way that we're going to get through this is if we fight for each other and not against each other. My friends, that's what our families need to say. We need to have a shovel in one hand, and we need to have a sword in the other, because we need to fight and we need to work. We need to be there for each other. Guys, this is where I want us to have such passion for our families, to be for each other, not against each other. In fact, let's look back on this grounding verse that we had, verse in chapter 4, verse 14, where it simply says, don't be afraid of them. Now we know what that means. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes. But you notice something? He didn't say, fight your family. Right? He didn't say, fight your family. He didn't say, backstab your family. He didn't say, neglect your family. He didn't say, find another family. He says, fight for your families. That's what you're supposed to fight for. And before I break from this, though, I can't miss this opportunity to remind us of who the audience that Nehemiah was actually speaking to. Notice who he was speaking directly to. It's the men. He's calling the men to fight for their families. So can I just say something to our moms here today? Just from me to you, thank you. Seriously, thank you for being the glue that keeps so many of our families together. Thank you for being the ones that look at the budgets and you figure out how it's all going to work to make the numbers work while we're just off somewhere playing golf or doing our thing. Like we just are oblivious to it. Thank you for at least caring. Thank you. Thank you for investing in our families. Thank you for seeing that it's worth fighting for. Thank you. But men, our wives are exhausted. Exhausted. They need us to step up. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, if you're retired, if you're in the middle of it, you need to step up. You need to lead. You need to fight. Our wives should not be the ones convincing us that our family is worth the fight. That shouldn't be. They shouldn't be talking us off the ledge. We should be linking arm in arm. so that we could say, hey, we're in this, let's tackle this together. So men, we need to continue to step up, be the ones calling us to fight for our families. And for some of you, maybe an application of that is like, where do I start? How do I get involved? How do I find that? Well, one thing you could do is you could join us at our men's retreat coming up. It's a group of men coming together that don't have it all figured out, but we're coming together to revive each other, to be able to say, hey, we're in this together. Last week, I told you to carry the burden, not be the burden. The only way you can do that is with other men around you. This is a chance for you to come June 1st through the 3rd. I'll be preaching one of the days and teaching one of the days. We'd love for you to come and join us. But it's a way for you to get around other men, say, I don't have it all figured out. You get a chance to dive into the Bible, learn from each other. There will be stake there. So just to let you know, okay, all right? But you can register online, crossroadsgrace.org/men's, or you can visit us right out there in the lobby today. We can get you signed up. But listen, don't walk out of here and say, I don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. Come on, join us, all right? Join us. Now, verse 14 shows us three key things that we need to understand how to fight right for our families. Three key things that are vital to fight right for our families if we want to be a This Is Us family. They're right there in their bulletin. We'll follow along. Three keys. The first one is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Nehemiah 4:14, beginning, says this. It says, don't be afraid of them. It's the first thing it says. Now, again, you're like, well, that's a real churchy answer, Pastor B. Of course you're going to say that, you know. It sounds like something you tell your little kid before he goes to bed, you know. Don't be afraid, little buddy. It's going to be okay. Don't be afraid. Now, in the Hunt family, we kind of take it up a notch, right? So in the Hunt family, we have what's called monster spray at night, okay? Monster spray. And so before little E goes, I mean, we put a little corner. Like we put a little in the closet over there. We put under the bed. We put on the bed. If he was playing baseball, a lot on him just to make sure we get that covered, right? Well, we monster spray that mug up. I'm just telling you right now, okay? A gift from me to you, okay? It helps. It's tremendous. But let me just tell you something. When it comes to our families, the things that we're fighting against, this stuff doesn't work, does it? It doesn't. I mean, I don't care how unafraid you think you're, how brave you're going to be. There's no Febreze spray that's going to cover up that stuff. It just isn't. Because listen, the war that we're against, it's against death and life. It's against pain and peace. It's against darkness and light. And none of this is going to cover that up. So, and when we're in the middle of these battles, it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to be afraid. But in those moments, we always need to remember God's promises throughout the Bible. It's a reminder that not to be afraid of something that has no hold on us. So the question that we have to ask ourselves when we're fighting with our families then is, who are we afraid of? And I know for me, and I've heard it from other people, there's a lot of things that we'll say. Number one is we're fear of failure. We're fear of failure. What if this fighting thing doesn't work? What if we do all this and it just doesn't work? We're fear of failure. What about fear of hard work? I'll tell you right now, there's some people that are just flat out lazy and you don't want to do the hard work. Effort scares you. Sweat scares you. Long-term scares you. Your fear of hard work. Also fear of change. Fear of change. There's a lot of people that don't want to change. And I'll tell you why. As crazy as dysfunction is in your life, a lot of people find comfort in the discomfort because at least it makes sense. And the fear of not having that can be really, really hard to embrace, even if it's jacked up. But God tells us time and time again in his word not to be fearful, to not be afraid. Here's just a few. Genesis tells us this. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Isaiah would tell us, so do not fear, for I am with you. Joshua tells us this. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. 2 Timothy reminds us, for the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Now, the why is all that important? Because fear will cripple you to never act. Satan will work on your fears and on your emotions, and it will stunt any sort of spiritual movement that happens in your life. Frankly, it might be the evilest trick that he uses. And by ourselves, it'll work every time. It'll work almost every time. But fortunately, we aren't supposed to just be unafraid. We're supposed to be unafraid and also to remember the Lord. To remember the Lord. Rest of that verse, 14, says this. It says, remember the Lord who is great and is awesome. See, it's not just enough to not be afraid. There's lots of people that can fake being unafraid. So being brave isn't necessarily important. It's remembering why we aren't afraid. And we aren't afraid because of the Lord. Because the Lord is bigger than our fears, bigger than anything we're going up to, bigger than our ability to be brave. And if we try to be tough, we try to grit our teeth and make our family strong, it'll only last so long. We have to cling to something stronger and remember something greater than ourselves, and that's the Lord. Remembering the Lord requires that we stop and we consider who he is and not always being looking at ourselves. It takes the focus off ourselves and puts it back on God. When we remember the Lord, guys, think about this. We could start to realize that the God that created the oceans in the sky wants to know you and I. The God that created tree boughs will help you keep your marital vows. The God that saw our sin and mess sent his son, his very best. When we remember the Lord, we can understand what Paul says in Romans 8:31, where he says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Listen, my friends, this is who's on our side. If we remember God, if we choose to have him on our side, if we choose to have him be the center of our lives, guiding, directing, shaping, molding our families, then what could possibly be against us? And the answer is nothing. This is part of the good work of building our families. It's remembering the Lord. Why is that so important? What's the other part of verse 14? Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Great and awesome. We're not entrusting our families to Dr. Phil or Wendy Williams or any self-help book in Barnes & Noble. No, no, no. We're entrusting our families to the great and awesome Lord, the King of the universe that loves us and cares for us and wants to see our families not just survive, but to thrive. But it only works if we stick together. Which brings me to the final thing that we need to do to fight right, and that is to fight together. Fight together. The end of Nehemiah 4:14 says, fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Guys, so often I sit across from people, whether it's in my office or at a coffee shop somewhere, I'm sitting with couples and you can just see war there. You can feel the tension about to break out. There's so much venom and hatred against each other that it wouldn't surprise you if they just started breaking chairs in Starbucks, start stabbing each other. Like you could feel it, right? But what brings about that passion? What brings about that darkness, that disgust for someone? It's when you start to see that person as the enemy or out to get you. You make them out to be the enemy. It's when you replace "I do" with "oh no, you didn't," right? That's when it happens. When you lose your common goal as a family, when you take your eyes off remembering the Lord, it's then that you begin to turn on each other. But guys, can't you see how crazy that is? How just nuts that is? We're playing right into Satan's hands. All he wants you to do, you and me, is to take our eyes off of Jesus, and then it's a slippery slope to destruction after that. We'll destroy each other. We're no longer a team anymore. In fact, we're a team that thinks that we have a rat in it, and we want to get rid of it. But we have to fight together against that idea of thinking and fight for our families. We have to stick together. Now speaking of sticking together, do you know that groups of animals have different names? Like, you know, like if a bunch of animals get together in the wild, they actually have names for what they're called. Like, for instance, like a group of bees is known as a swarm. We're divided. It's a swarm. Okay, swarm, okay? A group of ants is known as a colony, okay? A group of fish is a school, yeah? What?
School?
School, yeah, school, okay. A group of lions is known as a pride. Good, good. A group of crows are murderers. Yes, yeah, okay. A group of tigers is known as a ambush. That's cool, man. An ambush. How about a group of flamingos? Flamboyants. That's what they're called. Flamboyants. But here's my favorite group. The rhinos, right? The rhinos. Do you know that a rhino can weigh over 5,000 pounds depending on what species it is? Do you also know that a rhino can run 30 miles an hour? Do you also know that a rhino can only see 30 feet in front of it, right? That's it. That's it. That's crazy. That's why I love these guys the most. And do you know what you call a group of rhinos together? It's called a crash. Ha! That's so cool. A crash. As pastor and author Irwin McManus says, he says, who cares if a rhino can only see 30 feet in front of them? Whatever is at 31 feet needs to care more that they are coming and get out of the way. What's up, right? Now listen, my friends, what if our families acted like a group of rhinos and crashed through life together instead of turning on each other? What if we all turned our attention and our focus and that horn toward anything that got in our way and took it out together? What if we fought for each other, not against each other? How much different would our families be? Gang, we need to fight for each other, not against each other. We need to stick together. That's what Nehemiah instructed his people to do, and they did it. And not only did they survive, but they thrived. Because fighting together does something to galvanize you together. Did you know that? I mean, I just look at my family, and the times that we grew the closest is when we were in the hardest of times. It's when you struggle and you claw and you scratch together that you are brought even closer. That's when we come together the most. We gain more traction together as a family when we're on the road that is rough, not smooth. That when the teeth of who we are and our faith in Jesus dig deep down into the ground and push us forward. Guys, I was thinking of this. We need to look at our families as off-road vehicles and not limousines. We have to think of them as with thick old big tires to get through the big dirt of life, big shock absorbers to go over the bumpy terrain, those five-point harness seatbelts just in case things get turned upside down, a reinforced bumper when things start to get really rough in life, chains and winches to pull us out of tough spots. That's what life needs to look like. That's what our family needs to look like. But so many of us think that our family should be luxury town cars that have a smooth ride, everything we need inside there, and we're always on smooth, freshly paved blacktop. But guess what? Life ain't easy, y'all. Family isn't easy. I'm not sure who told you that, but they're lying to your face, right? Families are hard. There are more times than not when you won't see eye to eye, that you won't understand what someone or something is thinking or doing, that you won't like each other, but you always fight for each other. Our family will fight for each other, not against each other. And do you know what you tell people that are starting to get in your ear and tell you it's not worth it? You know what people that say, listen, just bag it, just forget it, just forget all about that stuff, just forget everything that's happened. You know, you're better off happy, look for happiness somewhere else. You know what you tell people like that? You tell them the exact same thing that Nehemiah told Sanballat and Tobiah. He says this to them. He says, I'm carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down with you? See, Nehemiah was in the middle of a project and he was at the top of the wall working on some stuff. And he was all the way at the top. And all of a sudden he gets this message from Sanballat and Tobiah. And they said, hey, why don't you come down to us? But check it out. What they wanted to do is if he came to the bottom of that ladder, they were going to murder him. They were going to kill him. See, if you kill the leader, you kill the project. So Nehemiah looks down and says, why would I waste my time coming down to you when the work is up here? Why would I waste my time? Why would I waste my breath talking to you and stop what God has told me to do? Why would I do that? Guys, see, there are people in this world that don't want to see your family succeed. They just don't. There are people that will do anything they can to get you and me off of mission. And if we come down off this ladder, if we take energy away from what God has called us to do, then we're wasting our time. Because what coming down means is means coming down from the work God has for you. It separates you from your focus that you need to have. When it comes to building strong families, we must work hard. We must fight together, stay focused, not lose sight of what God is trying to do in and through you. The bottom line for this week that I want us to think about, for us to consider as a This Is Us family, simply this statement, that this is us. Our family will stick together. In fact, Crossroads, would you repeat that with me? This is us. Our family will stick together. I think we need it one more time. This is us. Our family will stick together. Do you mean it? Do you mean it? See, when we come to this time, I can't help but think of Jesus. See, I told you that Sanballat was on this. Sanballat and Tobiah were beckoning Nehemiah down because they wanted to kill him. They wanted to murder him. They knew that the work that he was doing was going to impact them. They just wanted to murder him. But he says, no, I'm not coming down. But do you know at some point in history, God looked down on his earth, his creation. He says, they're in trouble. They're in a lot of trouble. So much trouble that I would never be with any of them ever again because of the sin that they have done. And so what he does is he looks to his son. He says, I have a mission for you. And the mission is I want you to go down to them. I want you to go down there, and I want you to save them. And Jesus agrees. But with every step down that ladder from heaven, he knows that he is on a mission that will ultimately cost him his life. But he came down from heaven to earth for you and for me, to die for us in our place, to be murdered, so that we would never have to feel the sting of death, so that we could know what eternity is like, that we could know what he left for us. But he also did that so our families could have this stickum on it called grace, that Jesus' grace binds our families together. And that when we fight for each other, we don't fight by ourselves. We fight with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords right by us. We don't fight against each other. We fight for each other. And we do that because of Jesus. Jesus left heaven to come to earth for you and for me. He did it for your family also. So fight. Fight. And at communion, we remember that. Trays are going to pass in front of you in a few minutes. There'll be two cups in there, bread in the bottom, juice in the top. Take them both out. Hold on to them, because we're going to come back together and commune as a body of believers. But might you use this time to consider what Jesus did for us and what he's doing for your family, what he wants to do for your family, if you would just invite him in. Maybe you've never known Jesus before in your life. Today could be that day that you understand how much he loves you. Maybe you've had a family for a while and you've never invited Jesus in. Maybe invite him in today. Maybe you've invited Jesus in, but for some reason you've pushed him out and now it's time to bring him back. Whatever it might be, I'd invite you to invite him in. And if you don't have a family here today, and someday you might, would you ask Jesus into your life now so you're preparing the fertile ground for when you find that person? Don't wait. Stick together. Stick with Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you now as we remember you through communion, through your broken body and your shed blood. Would you help us to take our eyes off ourselves and place them on you? Would you help us to think of the families that you've given us in whatever form they might be in, Father? And might we seek you to be able to figure out what it looks like to stick together, to be together, to work and to fight hard. But may we never forget what you did for us, Jesus, that you left perfection to come to imperfection, that you came on a rescue mission, but one that would ultimately cost you your life, and you knew that. One that you gave up your life for ours. Jesus, help us to remember that now. Help us to embrace you. Help us to lean into you. Help us to fight for one another with you. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All believers, you're welcome to commune with us. So we remember Jesus. Remember what he did for us. Remember his grace. Remember that it's only possible through him to do anything in this life, especially with our families. Remember how much he loves us through this bread, which represents his broken body. We take and eat in remembrance of Jesus Christ. This juice represents his shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins. It covers you, me, and our families. We take and drink in remembrance of him. As we pray, Father God, so overwhelmed with how much you love us, overwhelmed that you would give your son for us, overwhelmed that you would actually give us families, the opportunities to have families, or people that we love in our life. Help us, Father, to see them right through the right eyes, through eyes of grace and truth. May we be quick to love. May we be quick to fight for each other, not against each other. Father, if there's anyone in here that has never accepted Jesus as their Savior, though, today is a perfect day to do that, to not fight the feeling inside them that says, I need to know you. So, Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, might they turn to you, cling to you, and say, yeah, I'm a sinner and I'm apart from you. Jesus, come in my life, transform me. You fought for me, and now I want to fight with you. Help me, Jesus, come into my life. I repent of my past. I embrace my future with you, and I will be your disciple. Jesus, you tell us if anyone says that they're a new creation, that they're a warrior now for Christ. Help them to embrace that. Help them to know that. And for the rest of us, Father, help us to do something with what we've heard today. Help us to do something different in our families. May they look different as a result of knowing you. Jesus, you're amazing. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You guys, thanks for being here today. Before we go off, just give me two more minutes, just a couple announcements to bring to your attention. The first is, if you're a guest with us today, man, just blown away that you would join us today. Thank you for being here. Merge is the place for you, though. Right at the top of the stairs, outside of Nightingale Coffee, place for you to find out some information about our church. We'd love to help you merge into traffic here at Crossroads. Visit us up there right after service. We also do offering a little different here. We do it online. CrossroadsGrace.org/give is one way. Also at our app, Crossroads Grace app, you can give directly there. Or as you exit today, there'll be boxes with offering on them, or out of the side doors you can give there too. Another great thing is an opportunity for you to serve and to be a part of something really greater than yourself this year and this summer. We want to invite Miss T, Christine Thompson, our Director of Children's Ministry here. Tell you a little bit about something that you can be a part of, so please tell them.
So, hey everyone, I'm Christine, I'm the Director of Kids Ministry, and do you know what time it is?
Summertime!
It's almost summertime, hence the glasses. And also, you know, we have an amazing kids ministry team that takes care of your kids. But this is the time of year they take a little bit of a break, go on vacation. And so I'm here today to invite you to be a part of something extraordinary. It's to be Helping Hands, just maybe four times this summer. So you don't have to plan any lessons. And we're calling it Summer of Service, SOS. Yeah. And so it's super easy to sign up. You don't have to plan a lesson. You don't have to prep anything. We just want you to come and spend some time and be with some kids. And so there's two super easy ways that you can do that. One, there's a bulletin insert. Are you taking me serious with these glasses? In the bulletin is an insert that you can fill out. Also, you can go online, crossroadsgrace.org/SOS.
Yeah, easy ways for you to serve. Honestly, four times this summer would be a great way for you, your family. Again, if we want to show families that are engaged, next week we're going to talk a little about serving, but this is a great opportunity for you to dive in. Four times is pretty simple, and you make a huge difference in the life of our kids, and also to help with the load that's there. So tons of kids that are in there, we'd love for you to be a part of it. So consider being a part of that. And the other thing I want you to do before you leave today is, if you're a mom with your kids, or if you just want to have some fun, we have two Velcro walls out there, so go have some fun. We want to have you stick together. Get it? It all flows together, okay? And if you're a mom, put a suit on, jump on there with your kids. Dads, get behind the camera, take some pictures, okay? Have some fun, all right? We just want you to enjoy some time out there. We also have a photo wall that you can take a family picture with, and we have a little Mother's Day sign there, so take advantage of that. Spend some time, hang out with each other, but have a wonderful, wonderful day. Do something with what you've heard. Thanks for joining us today. God bless you guys. Tag, you're it.